Blog Talk Radio.
Show the sideways, smack it in the air. Let's move it side to side, smack it in the air. Let's move it side to side, smack it in the air. Show the sideways, smack it in the air. Smack it in the air. Let's move it side to side, smack it in the air.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode, episode 7 of The Update with Sports Talk Tasha and my co-host Erica, a.k.a. Curls in Sports. It is Tuesday, October 10th. I just had to confirm that because I have lost track of the days. Tuesday, October 10th, and it is a wild time in the sports and entertainment world. I don't even know what to do with my life with all this good tea that the fall is giving me. Erica, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling so confused. and angry, and I don't like to feel either of those two things. So I can only imagine how, for example, like we're going to talk about Jemele Hill later with one of our guests, but I can't imagine what's going on through her head, understanding and really trying to comprehend that, wow, my employer does not have my back at all. I completely understand that people are saying, like, she shouldn't be talking about that because she forgets that, you know, there's also sponsors that pay the network. And I understand that. And that makes sense as well. But you would expect them to have their back because ESPN at the end of the day is going to get paid. Like, we know that. That's not a problem. But I just can't believe that everything that's happening to her.
Yep, and that's another point. We have some great guests today that are going to be joining us that is going to help us. They're going to help us talk about all of these topics that are happening. We got a great lineup for you today, guys. We're obviously going to hit the NFL. The NFL, there's so much happening in the NFL that we could probably devote a whole show to the NFL and their haberdashery. That's the word, but whatever. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk NFL. We're going to bring on Antoine Staley on the show with us. And Antoine is the editor, the senior editor for the Dolphins Wire. So not only can we talk about the Dolphins and
yes,
their
can.
Coaches doing very suspicious things, but we can
Miami
talk
Vice.
About
mm-hmm.
yo, that was straight back to what was his name? I can't even remember. From Miami Vice, Don, whatever. I can't remember.
I didn't watch Miami Vice, but I caught an episode or two. But I totally get the references.
Yeah, and then on top of that, there's so much happening in the NFL. Antoine writes. He's a beat writer for Dolphins Wire, and he knows everything that happens in that locker room. So he's going to be joining us right around the 6:25 hour today. And then, of course, we gotta keep it real with our entertainment, with our fans who listen to us for the entertainment aspect of our show. And gotta ask, we're going to ask you guys, would you ever tattoo your boo's face on your body? That's a good question. And in order to talk about that, we're going to bring on our girl, Tamantha Gunn. Tamantha from The Celebrity will be joining us again. And she's awesome. She knows everything, everything in the entertainment world. So we have Tamantha on. Of course, we're going to keep it real. We're going to talk the NBA, the NFL, so much.
And
so
also
much
the Dove
today.
Commercials. The Dove commercial.
Of course.
You can't forget about
the
that,
The Dove
Jen.
Commercial. Yes. Yes, of course. So we have so much content for you today. We're so happy that you're joining us. And we will take a quick break and come back. And you can listen to our lovely voices. Thank you so much for listening to The Update every Tuesday from 6 to 7. Well, today we're going to give you guys a little bit more because we have so much content.
Yes,
but normally from 6 to 7 every Tuesday, Eastern Standard Time, on Southern Sports Central. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Right here, what we're going to do is go back.
to the beat, y'all. If you don't stop, a freak, freak.
Oh, boy, baby, it was all just so simple then. A teenage lover, you say, he's just a friend. He moved around and we kept in touch through his friend Mike. The world was young and we knew we couldn't rush. But whenever I got lonely or needed some advice, he gave me his shoulder. His words were very nice. But that is all behind me, 'cause now there is no other. My love is his.
Up, got back together to get her back. I had the sweater, thought she rode with bad boys forever. In many ways, them boys made her better. To grow, I had to let her. She needed cheddar, and I understood that. Looking for cheese, that don't make her a hood rat. In fact, she's a queen to me. Her light beams on me. I love it when she sings to me. It's like that.
Hey guys, we are back, and sorry for cutting off Erykah Badu. I do love that song, but we really want to jump in to Donald Trump and his actions against Jemele Hill this morning. You know, I woke up, as I always do, every morning, unfortunately, at 5:45 a.m., before the sun is up, I'm up, and shortly thereafter, I see Donald Trump tweeting about that Jemele Hill, like, basically attacking her and saying that ESPN was tanking anyway and going on being Donald Trump. And it's just ridiculous that the president of the United States of America, the first thing he does, the first thing he has the wherewithal to do on a Tuesday morning is tweet about a private citizen, about a black woman, no less.
When, if anything, he should be focused on getting my health care act together. This is what he decides to tweet about. So,
yeah,
he can go kick rocks, for lack of a better term.
I mean, health care, the people in Puerto Rico, the people in all of these places that have been ravaged by disaster, the U.S. soldiers that died in Niger that nobody's talked about, because the most important thing on Donald Trump's mind, and Charlamagne Tha God from the Breakfast Club always calls him the celebrity in chief, and that's exactly what he is. He does not realize that he is a president. No, you are not on The Apprentice anymore. You are the president of, you are the leader of the free world, and you have a responsibility to almost 350 million people, but your focus is a black woman. And this reason why his focus is a black woman is because he's a racist. We have allowed a racist white man to become the president of the United States. And with that goes all of this. He calls white supremacists good people. You know, he says the people in Puerto Rico are really going to cause, something about what they're doing to the budget. You think the people in Puerto Rico wanted to get hit by Hurricane Maria, Donald Trump? Is that what they really were like? Yeah, Maria, come through and ravage our entire island. We don't want power for 4 months. And it's crazy that this is his focus. And, you know, the crazier thing, Erykah, is that he's actually, like, it's blatant that he does not respect his oath to this country. It's blatant. And, you know, did you see how him and Mike Pence staged a protest at the NFL game when Mike Pence left the Colts game because players were kneeling for the anthem?
I I actually had such a laughter with everyone on Twitter because everyone was like, she's actually not even wearing an official NFL jersey, you bum. And I'm just thinking about how Jemele Hill must feel. I know I mentioned this earlier as soon as we opened the show up, but not for nothing, I wouldn't be able to work. So I wouldn't be surprised if she just puts in her 2 weeks' notice and another network is going to pick up her talent. I think Shannon Sharp was kind of sort of trolling her. I don't know if he was doing it maliciously, but he was telling her, you know, come join the dark side. So I don't know if that's a real thing.
Here's the thing about, you know, one thing I can say about Jemele's coworkers, Michael Smith, Carrie Champion, Michelle Beadle,
Josiah Anderson.
Exactly. Josina. So many of them have actually come together and been very supportive, vocally very supportive of her. And I really, really appreciate that because I actually tweeted something that came to my mind that if more NFL players had shown the kind of solidarity that Michael Smith is showing for Jemele Hill at the beginning of this protest, I can't imagine the impact it would have actually had. Because nobody took it seriously at the time when he was doing it. You know, people always thought of Colin Kaepernick as a pretty boy, and you know he doesn't take his life seriously because you know he got caught up in a situation in Miami. Yeah, he was young and he did dumb stuff, but at the end of the day, he was taking this very, very seriously, and it took almost a full year for the NFL to catch on. The only reason they caught on was because Donald Trump called them sons of bitches, SOBs. And I wish that more NFL players would have shown that kind of solidarity at the beginning of the protest. I think it would have actually hit home so much more. And I think that we would have seen such a difference in you know, outcomes. I know Colin has made it his point to do so much for the community. He's already donated $1 million of his own money. I think, exactly. I don't know if he's reached quite $1 million, but he's going to reach $1 million by the end of the year. And he's done so much for, you know, minority communities around the country. He's gone out and done so much for African Americans. And I wish that more NFL players, more NBA players, more MLB players, NHL. You know, over the weekend we had the first ever NHL player, JT Brown, I believe his last name is, who raised his fist during the national anthem. That's significant. We're talking about hockey. Hockey doesn't have a lot of black players or a lot of black people, period. But getting back to Jemele, Erica, what Jemele said about Jerry Jones in her tweet, was that a suspense, like something that she should have been suspended for?
No, not at all, because she was just doing her job. Like, her job is to commentate. And I didn't even know that they had these so-called social media rules that they could break and would cost them a suspension or even could cost them a job. So what would cost her job is the other thing I was thinking about, because when she got suspended for this, so if she called Jerry Jones a flat out a white supremacist, if she could fire for that, I just don't understand. Because
you know,
she's just doing her
job. She better not, because ESPN has an employee that's on staff right now, President Obama. He compared President Obama to Hitler. I believe it was Connick, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
I think it was him. You compared President Obama to Hitler. Hitler is one of the
of
most vile human beings in world history, and you compare the president of your country to Hitler. Like, as bad
and you're
as
still
Donald
on
Trump
payroll.
Is, I don't think I would ever compare him to Hitler unless he actually did something to make me say, yeah, that's very Hitler-like, you know? So you compare the president of the country to Hitler, and you're still employed. Didn't get suspended, by the way. He's just fine in his job. But Jemele gets suspended for saying that all she said really was that the fans need to stop putting this kind of pressure on the players, because they're putting a lot of pressure on the players to basically make sure the players, like, they have to kneel, they have to kneel. And, you know, maybe the players can't kneel because they don't want to risk losing their jobs or whatever. You got to respect that. But at the end of the day, what she said is that the fans can reach out to the advertisers and basically make a difference by saying, hey, you know, this isn't right.
True.
You know, you're. That's all she said. She didn't say go march on AT&T Stadium and let's burn the building down. She didn't incite anybody to do anything wrong. All she said was reach out to advertisers, and she got suspended for saying that. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, it's true, and I just don't understand exactly what. I would love to see their rules and regulations in matter of fact. Because it's just a kind of tweeting similar to us. Like, we've grown a little bit of a network just due to our tweets. So does this mean that we should also be careful what we tweet? Like, I make sure not to curse or any of that nature for the past couple of years. And I've been wanting to curse for a very long time. I must be honest about that. But this is, again, this is just, this, you know, commentary. What is the problem with it? And now it's just, it gets you wondering, does my employer even back me up? Where's human resources? Like, when people say that I'm going to take you to HR, it's a joke. This isn't a joke anymore. Where's their HR for her? I just don't understand.
So the whole point is that it just, I'm calling BS on the whole suspension because I feel like they were getting a lot
of
pressure
from Trump. I really hope she hands in her, I really hope she gives them her resignation and she takes her talents elsewhere. Because they're still not going to be as great without her. And Michael Smith, too, I really commend him, as you said earlier. You know, he's not doing the show without her. Like, you can tell, like, they're a perfect duo. That's exactly what you would want in a colleague, the support, not even to see you as competition. And it must be big for him to not even want to do, because this is obviously your dream. But,
yeah. Did you see how they made the NFL countdown show like 2 hours yesterday because they needed to fill up that SC6 spot?
Yeah,
that's
they
so
did.
Whack. That was so whack.
Yeah.
Very whack of you, ESPN. I mean, at the end of the day, this all boils down to a president attacking a private citizen. Like, he ain't got ish else to do. Donald Trump, do your job. You're the president. You're here to represent the people of this country, and you're not doing that. You're actually, I don't know what you do. You golf a lot. I know that you golf a lot. And if you're not the most amazing golfer by now, then I don't understand why you golf so much, but you're spending a lot of taxpayer dollars to golf and do a lot of nonsense instead of run the country. And it's annoying.
It really is annoying, and I mean, you kind of just get flabbergasted, and you're going to at a loss of words, because what else that we haven't said hasn't already been said? So, I mean, I'm wondering what other employees are wondering or are actually are wanting to give her support, but they're too scared to do it, but they're scared for their jobs, which is another thing. Like, it's true what they're also saying, like, I have a family to feed, but. Is that bigger than your belief?
I got to tell you something, Erica. Something that really blew my mind. So I had a conversation with a friend of mine who is a white Jewish American. And his response to me, you know, when I was basically saying that black people are the only people who have never had reparations. And this is just me giving you an example of how white people are really clueless as to the plight of a black person. So, you know, I was explaining to him that black people are the only people in U.S. history that have never received reparations for anything, you know, at all. And his response was like, well, Jewish people never got reparations for slavery in Egypt. Egypt?
Oh, Lord.
Erica. I wanted to reach into my phone and scream. That was over 2,000 years ago, bro. We are talking about current day history. Now, I can't I can't give you reparations for what the Egyptians did to you over 2,000 years ago. But what I did say to him, I did say, you do realize that you guys got a whole friggin' country after World War II. Like, a whole country. They carved out a piece of land and said, here, it's yours, and we don't care where we take it from. A whole country.
Yep.
And I'm like, you're really comparing being enslaved in Egypt over 2,000 years ago to slavery that happened just in the 18th century. Like, this is 3 centuries ago. This is how clueless they really are, and it's mind-boggling. Shout out to my girl, Jamel. We stand with Jamel all day long on Southern Sports Central on the update. Listen, we're here for you, and we will back you, and thank God for freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Jamel, you will be back, and ESPN is going to learn that how badly they need you. We're going to go to break, guys, and when we come back, we are going to have Antoine Staley from Dolphins Wire on the show. Thank you guys for listening to the update on Southern Sports Central every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks, guys.
What's that on that beat, hope?
I ain't even north, ain't north, ain't north, north. Said I call you to the state, and you seen a nigga thought,
nigga thought,
the thought,
thought,
throwing that ass for days.
Booty going up, down.
I ain't got no problem spending all of my money.
Tryna see what's up.
I can do this all day like it ain't nothing. Black car, party in the backyard. Now they got the black bra showing. Tatted up, ass fat enough. She a bad bitch and she already know it.
Yeah, she know it.
Yeah, she know it. Yeah, yeah, she know it.
Yeah, she
a bad bitch and she already know it.
Yeah, she know it.
Yeah, she know it. Yeah, yeah, she know it.
Yeah, she know it.
She gon' make me spend some money on it.
Yeah, she know it.
Whole bank account, I blow it.
I blow it.
Go do a show to
him.
Put some more in. Pockets bigger than a Samoan. I'm in the stage every time, shout it, go in.
Shout it, go in, shout it, go in.
Booty is the floating,
floating, no
motion. I'm so gone on patrol. I don't know how I'm getting home later on. Like, I ain't even north,
ain't north,
ain't north,
north.
Said I call you to the state again. You seen a nigga thought,
nigga thought,
the thought,
thought,
throwing that ass for days.
Booty going up, down.
I ain't got no problem spending all of my money.
Tryna see what's up.
I can do this all day like it ain't nothing. Shout it thick, thicker than a snicker. Every time she do it, it's for me and my niggas. And a friend do it with her. She don't even like girls, but a stack can make her kiss her.
Go and kiss her,
go and go and kiss her. She don't even like girls, but a stack can make her kiss her.
Go and kiss her,
go and go and kiss her. She keep fucking around, I'ma watch dismiss her.
Go and kiss her.
She make us rock, then jiggle. Put on the show to
end,
bring that door
in.
Booty bigger than a Samoan.
I'm
in the phase every time, shout it, go in.
Shout it, go in, shout it, go in.
Booty is the floating,
floating,
no motion. I'm so gone on patrol. I don't know how I'm getting home later on. Like, I ain't even north,
ain't north,
ain't north,
north.
Said I call you to the state, and you seen a nigga thought,
nigga thought,
the thought,
thought,
throwing that ass for days.
Booty going up, down.
I ain't got no problem spending all of my money.
Tryna see what's up.
I can do this all day like it ain't nothing.
And you know it. Look at how she thought. If it get any bigger, baby girl gon' have to tow it. Sitting on the memes like Floyd. But she lied to you if she said I paid for it. Nigga, 99 broads, 99 broads. Panoramic view from the 99th floor. I'm like, my lord, when she down on all four. Got a hood bitch with me, she ain't scared to take a charge. Lying by in a car, you don't know what you saw. She adjusting the broad, I'm lighting up a cigar. They was riding me off, now I arrive like a star. I just sit back and laugh at the irony of it all. That I'm fast, though, that I'm fast, though. Watch a nigga throw a grand of soap on that chemical. And we like, damn boy, why you cuffing that whore? The whole thing's smashing, you ain't even know it, goddamn.
I ain't even know it,
ain't north,
ain't north,
north.
Said I call you to the state. And you seen a nigga thought,
nigga thought,
the thought,
thought,
throwing that ass for days.
Booty going up, down.
That's the song that you chose, Sasha.
Yes, I mean, welcome back. But I chose that song because of Chris Werther. I was like, yes, I got to give a tribute to Coach Chris. And in order to do that, I want to welcome Antoine Staley to the update. Antoine, shout out. What's up?
I guess booty is going up and down. So, you know,
right?
I guess
that's exactly
a good
what
day.
I was thinking.
I mean, listen, he was. I should have chosen Love with a Stripper, but I was like, this is a more modern version of T-Pain's life.
Right.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Antoine, introduce yourself to the listeners on the update.
Well, my name is Antoine Staley. I've been covering the Dolphins for 5 years now. And
nice.
Right now I work for USA Today Dolphins Wire, just covering the Dolphins on a daily basis.
Nice.
How fun is that?
I mean,
oh,
these days it must be fun.
Yeah, it's never a dull moment. I came in the year they had Bullygate the first year I was there, and then that was crazy. That was even crazier than this. They had CNN and TMZ in the locker room every day.
Oh my god!
For about a month.
I can imagine.
So yeah, it was just crazy. And then after that, yeah, it was just. Then you had the Miko Grimes, Brent Grimes situation. TMZ was in there for that.
Right.
And,
my God.
Yeah, that's
awesome. You've been around for some good times.
Definitely interesting times there in the Dolphins locker room.
So let me ask you this. Because when Adam Gase did his presser, he said that he lost a close friend in Chris Forster, right? So how close are Adam Gase and Chris Forster?
Well, they've known each other since. They were both assistant coaches in San Francisco, so that's where they met.
Okay.
In the early 2000s, but they hadn't talked in a while until Gase hired them in 2016 because Forrester had been working for other teams, but he came back. He came back to the Dolphins in 2016. He was previously with the Dolphins in 2004 as the offensive coordinator, but Gase didn't know him then. So he's really known him again for really the last couple of years.
That's crazy. So was there any indication that this was going, like, you know, you see these people every single day. That's your job. Did you ever look at Chris Forster and say, something's off about this guy?
No, I never did. Football coaches are a different breed anyway. So, you found that some of them are weird and some of them just do awkward things. But you never thought that somebody might be snorting any kind of substances or anything like that. That's kind of the last thing from your mind. But, yeah, it was just when I woke up and I just took a nap and I woke up on Sunday night and I ended up finding this video. People just added me at it, and I was like, wow. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh,
the players
goodness.
Were shocked, too. The players were shocked.
Wow.
They were taken by this. Adam Gase found out about it late Sunday night, and everybody was just completely – yeah, they had no idea.
So no idea.
Getting yourself in trouble, obviously, because this is your employer. So what are your thoughts on it? Like, what do you think? You know, I don't want you to get in trouble either for your comments, but what are your thoughts on this entire debacle of snorting, you know, dedicated to your lover?
where do you start? I mean, Forrester has three kids. He's married. Been married for some time, and I'm sure they're embarrassed by it. I actually feel bad for them
because they
never really asked for it, and they're getting their name out there in the public, which I didn't do. I think it's kind of like an ethical thing where you're talking about him, not necessarily his family. Yeah, no kids, no family. So, yeah, I think it's just a crazy situation, and for him, you just got to be smarter than that. Understand the situation, and you're dealing with a woman who calls herself a model, but we know she's probably doing other things. Yeah, that's what she calls herself. But everybody knows she's doing other escort. We ended up having a whole conversation about this in the media room yesterday. What is she?
I can only imagine.
What do we call her? Do we call her escort? Do we call her stripper? Do we call her a model?
I need y'all to stop calling her a model. You give my
Instagram model
a bad name.
Well, hold on. Well, here's the thing. Everybody, you know, everybody in this day and age calls themselves a model, whether they Instagram or apparently she has photos and she works somewhere and getting checks from somewhere and just claiming
somewhere.
She's a model. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't feel comfortable calling her a model. Especially considering I'm not trying to bag on her, but she's okay. It's nothing special there, but yeah, I just feel mm-hmm. I was just like, yeah, I really don't think of her as a model. I just said the woman, and then I said her name. So that's kind of how I just
yeah
define her, because I'm not gonna call
that's
her a model because I don't think she's a model. Yeah, and I'm not gonna get in trouble and call her an escort or stripper or anything like that. So I just figured that I'll just call her a woman and her name and just mention her name.
So. Yeah. What did you think when you saw her, you know, her initial Facebook post about Black Lives Matter and she's doing this for the cause? And, like, what were you thinking when you were reading this?
I thought it was BS, because you come to find out it's more to it than that. I thought it was just – I mean, I'm not saying she might not – she's not about that, of course. We all about that, just wanting to – bring about, because a lot of this is with the flag, people who stand up for the national anthem. We all want to be, especially Blacks, want to be treated equally. And well, all of us, any race, want to be treated equally and just have equality. But I knew it was just total BS by her. It had to be another reason why she put the video out there. And come to find out, it comes back to money. Because she later in the Facebook post, she was saying that, oh, well, he should have paid me. He should have paid me. So I don't know if it was a blackmail thing or whatever the case may be, because we don't know how old the video is. And we asked Adam Gates that, and he had no idea. He wouldn't want to really want to comment on it.
Wow.
Well, the thing about it is, like, obviously it can't be that old. And then he did admit in the video that he was I'm at the office or something like that.
Yeah, he's about to head to a meeting, so
that's
he's at
right.
the office facility.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, so this brought up another question in my mind. Like, how many people in the NFL are snorting coke like this, and is coke that prevalent?
I don't think so. I think cocaine is like an older recreational drug. I don't think you're seeing – you may see it down here in South Florida because kind of the culture and things of
cocaine
that nature, but I don't get the sense that – yeah, I don't get the sense that a lot of people are doing cocaine. I think people are doing other things, but I don't think cocaine is that prevalent like it used to be back in the 80s and 90s.
It's a little crazy. I mean, you even look at the story today with Josh Gordon. Did you see the list of drugs that Josh Gordon said he was doing?
Yeah, I did. I actually saw that. And, yeah, that really didn't surprise me. Josh Gordon had been in a whole bunch of trouble all types of things. Had to go to a substance abuse place, and he's still trying to get his life together. That's why I think the NFL has really decided we want you to be as clean as possible before we let you back into the league. And that's why he's applied for reinstation, but they hadn't necessarily – accepted it as of yet, so he's going to try again and see how that goes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to shift gears a little.
Okay.
I wanted to really ask you about Adam Gase, because Adam Gase, right off the block, he's dealing with Chris Forrester, and then the next thing you hear him say is any player that isn't going to stand for the national anthem has to stay in the tunnel. And I'm like, whoa, we haven't even gotten over one thing yet, Adam. And what did you – I mean, you're sitting there. What did you think – actually, and I got this from you. What did you think when you heard him say that?
Well, we learned about that on Sunday after the game because we had talked about – we had asked him about that directly after the game, and he said it came from him. So my thinking probably came from Stephen Ross, who actually said he would like his players to stand for the anthem. Now, Gase gave the players an option. He doesn't necessarily it's not like a Jerry Jones thing where you're going to get suspended for doing this. It's just either you stand or stay in the locker room. I don't like it either way, because I think players should be able to express themselves however they want to and freely. If they feel like they want to knee, they want to do a fist in the air, I mean, that should be their thing. I don't think it's necessarily taken away from anything that the team does or the game. I just think I think it's a bit ridiculous, to be honest with you. You're having a rule, and now you're having the NFL evaluating the rules. Should all players stand, which I don't think should be the case. It shouldn't be like the NBA, where they ended up having this rule for about 23, 24 years or so that players have
to stand. Yeah, and Adam Silver made sure to mention it, too.
Yeah. Did that go back to David Stern, to be honest with you?
Yeah.
But – I just think players should be able to do what they want to, and they shouldn't have to suffer any consequences for that, just for not standing for the national anthem. I think it's so many things out there that players are doing, and we have so many other things that are going on in sports that players are doing that negatively that should be taken into, like, should be have far greater consequences.
I think,
yeah. I mean, there's so much happening in the NFL. It's not even just football anymore. It's crazy, but it's a lot to internalize at one time for people who still watch football and still, you know, appreciate the sport. And I keep hearing people say, stick to sports, stick to sports. And I'm like, how can you say that if the president wakes up at 30 in the morning and starts tweeting about sports and the NFL and, you know, Jerry Jones is out there thanking Donald Trump for reminding him about a rule. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did. I definitely did see that. You can't – the stick to sports era is over, for to be honest with you, because players are taking a more conscious effort to get – to say how they feel politically. It's not no longer mm-hmm. – and I'm not dissing Michael Jordan for this. I understand why he did it, especially considering all the money he's made in his life. He just decided
not
to –
Yeah, he's a billionaire.
Yeah, he just not decide to do it, which I totally respect, because he wanted to be able to make money and just kind of keep his thoughts to himself, even though I'm sure he has a lot of great certain opinions about it. But in this day and age, people are going to want to know what you think, whether you talk about Greg Popovich, LeBron James, even in the Dolphins locker room, there's certain players that we go to about social issues. Michael Thomas is very good, very smart, intelligent guy with the Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Stills is very a leader on the Dolphins, who we also talk about standing for the national anthem. Both of those guys ended up taking a knee the entire year last year for the Dolphins.
Oh,
so
they did.
If we talk about
those
issues, yeah. We have to address them with socially. We ask them about social issues, whether on or off the record, and they tell us how they feel. And I think that's important in this day and age, because even though everybody might not want to hear it, there are certain fans that, especially if you're intelligent, that say, okay, I never really thought about it like that. Football players can be smart and play and tough at the same
play
time.
Sports.
It's not that it's just not that dumb era anymore where it's, you're just a jock and you don't know anything. A lot of football players actually read the news, are very knowledgeable, and know what's going on in the world.
Did you ever get a chance to ask Michael Thomas or Kenny Stills how they felt about Adam Gase, you know, implementing that rule that they would have to stay in the tunnel?
I have not. Well, I know Michael Thomas briefly talked about it. I wasn't in the locker room when he talked about it. I know tomorrow we'll probably be in there. We were in the locker room yesterday, but, of course, with the Chris Forrester news, nobody wanted to be in there. Nobody wanted to. It was just a complete ghost town. And actually, the Dolphins PR people warned them that we were in there. So it might have been one guy that came in there, but that was really about it. So they just did the smart thing by staying away. But eventually – They got to answer the questions anyway, whether it be Monday or tomorrow, because you're going to have media in there as well. So at one point, you just probably have to get it over with. I just think the players didn't want to deal with it yesterday.
So who's going to coach the O-line now that Forrester is clearly not there?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're actually nothing's official now. They're actually talking to one of their old O-line coaches who had been there from 2009 to 2011. So it appears he's gonna get the job. So, but we'll see. I think that's kind of the way they're going. They obviously need all the offensive help they can get. The Dolphins are last in total offense. They're 10th in they're last in total points per game, averaging a little over 10 points per game. So they're 2-2, but they're not.
That's like you look at that and there you could be like that they could really be 0-4 right now.
Mariota
the last game was 100% defense.
Yeah, it was not a good. It was not fun to watch, especially in person. I ended up having to watch that, and people felt bad for me. Texting me saying, "I feel bad you have to watch and write about this," and I'm saying, "Thank you, I do too." But, yeah, it was one of those days where, it's not a good game to watch. And the Chargers game, if the kicker makes their field goal, they lose that game. So, and if Marcus Mariota plays Sunday, I think they probably lose that game as well. So, yeah, I just think that they could definitely easily be 0-4. But they got the Falcons this week. I'll actually be up in Atlanta for that game. That'll definitely be – yeah, I don't think that's going to be pretty.
No. After looking at all of this and you see what Jay Cutler has not done for the team, what would you say about that Jay Cutler signing now?
I don't think – well, first of all, let me just say this. I don't think all of their problems go back to Jay Cutler. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think the offensive line is probably the biggest problem with the Dolphins. They can't. Jay Cutler doesn't have time to throw the football. So I don't care if you're Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, or Matt Moore, who the fans were clamoring for on Sunday. If you don't have time to throw the football, you can put Peyton Manning, you can put anybody back there. You're going to struggle. Tom Brady, the reason the Patriots have been so successful is because they block for Tom Brady so well.
Yep.
Without blocking, then you're not going to – I don't care who you are, your offense is going to struggle. So, yeah, I think that's part of it. Jay Cutler definitely hadn't played well. I'm not going to sit up here and sugarcoat it. He's been awful at times.
Yeah,
but I just don't think it's all his fault, especially – and then you had – receivers dropping balls on Sunday. I think you had 5 drops through the course of the game. And, yeah, you got to have your receivers pick up your quarterback. I know that some of the passes may not be perfect, but a lot of those balls the receivers should have caught. So I definitely think that it's been a combination of a lot of things. And people just look at the quarterback because that's the face of the team in most cases. So it's easy to put blame on Jay Cutler as opposed to the starting wide receiver or the running back, Jay Ajayi, who also hasn't played very well either. But
no,
I think it all
not.
Goes back to the offensive line.
Offensive line. I saw a lot of people saying, in particular, Omar Kelly, and I know you know Omar well, that maybe the Dolphins should sign Brandon Albert. And I wanted your perspective on that.
He's out there. He actually did a workout in Seattle today. And I believe that he's going to the Giants later on this week. If he's out there, he's willing to play guard for the Dolphins, then why not? Because they definitely need some help at that area. I know they're waiting on Ted Larson to come back, who ended up getting hurt early on in the preseason. I think that's really the only reason they hadn't explored that option. But I know this as well. When Brandon Albert went to Jacksonville, he actually said that playing for Miami kind of took its toll on him. And I can tell you the coaches and some of the players took by surprise as well. They were very happy with those comments. So
really?
I don't see any scenario they would want him back, even though they should definitely think about it, because that offensive line is just terrible. Nobody's particularly playing well on the offensive line. I don't care what the coaches are saying. They're trying to sugarcoat it. They're trying to say, well, Mike Pouncey is playing very well. I don't think Mike Pouncey is ever going to be the same Pro Bowl player again. And I like Mike Pouncey, but when you're coming off of a hip injury and you may have to have a hip replacement before the time you're 40 years old, you're not going to be the same player that you used to be when you're older. He's 28 years old, and you may need a hip replacement in 5 years. I mean, that's something that a 60 or a 70-year-old would get.
Right. And that's crazy to me. You know, I went to Florida State, and one of the most widely known Florida State – you get over it, Antoine. Get over it. But one of the most widely known – Listen, I could start it, and I could back it up, too. You don't want none of this. I'm telling you, Antoine, don't go there. But getting back to my point.
Okay, just ask the question.
remember Snoop Menace, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm just sitting in the car waiting to talk to y'all.
So Snoop Menace, actually, I saw him at the Orange Bowl when FSU played Michigan, and this man had a cane. Like, you are not that old, Snoop, and you are legit walking with a noticeable limp and a cane, and he has to carry a cane all the time. And that's what football can do to you, and it's crazy to me. You know?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Talk about Earl Campbell, the great legendary running back. He barely could walk when he was in his 40s and 50s because he had taken so much of a punishment as a player. Jerome Bettis, I know, talked about that years ago. After he retired, he'd wake up in the morning and he just have these aches and pains, especially for a running back. You take so much punishment. People are hitting you. They're coming at you all the time. It's not like where you're a quarterback where you're not taking hits on certain plays. As a running back, you're taking at least 30 hits a game, and it's not even just carries. It could be catching the football. It could be blocking. It's a brutal position. It's a brutal game, and that's why you have to have a certain mentality to play football. You have to be somewhat crazy because I'm trying to think of the word. It's not a typical game. You know you're going to get beat up and punished, but you have to have the mentality that you just don't care. You just have to say, this is something that I want to do. So there has to be some kind of mentality on you that says, I'm a little crazy to play this game, which you have to be, knowing that you may have issues in your brain later on in life, or you may not be able to walk or anything.
Yeah, because CTE is no joke. CTE is very, very much real.
I've always compared the NFL, like football in current day, it's our version of the gladiator back in the Roman Empire, because they beat themselves up. I mean, it's just a notch away from killing each other, really, to get this ball down the field. And it's crazy what these guys go through. But I always tell everyone, football players are crazy. They're legitimately crazy people. I love them. They're nice guys.
Some more than others.
Exactly.
Some more than others, yeah.
But, you have to have that crazy mentality to play football. But, I know a lot of – I won't say any names, but definitely a lot of crazy people that play football or some of them in the Dolphins locker room. Again, I'm not gonna say any names, but –
Antoine, no, I'm kidding.
Nah.
I'm just messing with you. But I want to shift gears again. We had a really big trade today. The Saints traded Adrian Peterson to the Cardinals. And then, 2.8 seconds later, the Cardinals, after everyone was like, oh, my God, you've never had two 2,000-yard rushers on the same team at the same time. You know, they're going on about Chris Johnson and AP on the same team. And then 2.8 seconds later, they cut Chris Johnson. That was short-lived.
Yeah, it definitely was. But the Cardinals need all the running they can get. They're dead last. And rushing, the Dolphins are actually 31st in rushing.
Oh, wow.
But the Cardinals, the Cardinals need all the rushing. And I think they're only averaging a little bit over 50 yards per game on running the ball. And you got older Carson Palmer out there. You can't expect him to carry your offense right now. And I'm not saying Adrian Peterson is what he once was. He's clearly not. Because if he was, the Saints would try to find a way to keep him. But I just thought it was a bad fit to begin with, because the Saints they're not a physical power football team. They like to throw the football. They like to have their running backs out in space and have them catch the football, and that's just not what Adrian Peterson does. And I don't know what the promise was when they signed him, but apparently Adrian Peterson saw the change. Yeah, and then they drafted a running back in Alvin Kamara. So I feel bad for him having to go out this way. It's not, most players don't go out the way that they want to, but he should go out better than what he is, because Adrian Peterson, to me, is one of the top 10 to 15 running backs of all time.
I agree. He was
definitely
one of the greatest we've ever seen, and I was just saying this today that I feel like he should retire just because I hate watching him go out like this. I feel like that's not what I expected when I saw Adrian Peterson, 5-6 years ago, this is not where I wanted him to end up. So now you watching this go down.
Well, he said he could play another 5 years, which I don't think that's going to be the case at all. If he plays any more, I think he may play one more season, depending on what happens with the Cardinals. But, he's 32 years old. Running backs don't typically last that long in the league, especially all the punishment he is taking.
No, they don't.
So I expect him to play maybe another year, and that's about it. He doesn't need to play anymore. He's proven. He's a Hall of Fame player anyway. He has nothing left to prove in the league.
What about the Cowboys? Why do you think there's been such a decline for the Cowboys this year? You know, I definitely don't think Zeke is going to be the number one running back in the league. That's not happening. But there's such a decline in Arlington, and, help me understand.
Well, I don't think Dak is necessarily playing that well either. He's turned the ball over a lot more than what he did last year. And now the book is out of the Cowboys. A lot of people thought it was just Dak Prescott and his play, but I thought Ezekiel Elliott was the reason that they got as far as what they did and to finish in 13-3. Now they're 2-3 right now. I still think they're a team that could make the playoffs, but now you have the Redskins in that division that look pretty good. The Eagles, I really like.
The Eagles are really good.
Yeah, they're looking
Carson
amazing.
Wentz is the Eagles probably to me are the best team in that division. Carson Wentz is really playing well, and they have a really good defense. So I think if they're going to get back on track, they just really have to stop turning the ball over and find ways to get Zeke more involved. I just don't think they can just straight up run him and expect him to just reel off 150-yard games each week. And it's not, that's definitely not going to be the case, because teams know that's where the heart of their offense starts with Ezekiel Elliott. And they also know that Dak Prescott is, you know, now he's going into his sophomore year, and teams last year he caught everybody by surprise, but they're not catching anybody by surprise anymore. They teams have seen film on him. They know what he likes to do. They know what he doesn't like to do. And that's the reason he's not playing as well.
Well, Antoine, I appreciate you. Eric and I really appreciate you coming on the show and dropping all this knowledge on us. I feel like I was just on an episode of School Me on Football right now, and Antoine is a teacher, because you definitely gave us a good crash course. Tell everyone how they can find you on social media.
So you find me on Twitter, Antoine Staley. You can also find my work at Dolphins Wire at USA Today, and I also do college football writing as well. I write about the Miami Hurricanes, and I do some Florida Gators writing, even though some people on the other line don't like the Gators. But, you know, I also do a little bit of writing about them. So, yeah, that's the place, best place that you can find me.
And their ugly uniforms. But anyway,
you know what? The uniforms are ugly. They're terrible. I can't even get down with those Gator type uniforms.
So
but the
season's
been a trash. Season's been trash anyway. So go ahead and roll them out there. Maybe it takes this. It's a distraction away from their terrible offense. So that's pretty much what they're probably trying to do anyway.
From their terrible offense.
Make people forget. Oh God, that's so
funny. Let us focus
on
though. Yeah, let
as
us focus
season goes
on
by,
their
we definitely
uniforms.
Want to have you back.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
Definitely. Next time, you know, a Dolphins coach decides he wants to snort lines off the desk, you know, hit us up. We're always here for just kidding.
Well,
but
yeah, if that happens again, yeah, definitely have me on.
Right.
That would be crazy. But anyway, we're not going to wish that on the people in Davie. Guys, thank you so much. And make sure you follow Antoine Staley on Twitter and follow what he does on Dolphins Wire. It's awesome, especially for you Dolphins fanatics that want to know all the ins and outs of the locker room. Thank you so much for coming on. We're going to go back to break now, guys. Thanks again for listening to the update with Sports Talk Tasha and Erica. And when we come back, we are going to have the lovely Tamantha Gunn in the studio dropping bombs on us on what she would not or would tattoo on her body. And is it her man's face? I don't know. We'll see. Thank you so much.
Tell me what you say now. Tell me what you say, come again. If you cannot stay down, then you do not have to pretend like there is no way out. I should have never let you in, cause you got me face down. Don't take the personal. That you would come again. You said that we would remain friends, but you know that I do not depend on nothing or no one. So why would you show up uninvited? Just change my like him. He don't wife him. He one night son. I never listen though. I should have figured though. All that shit you was spitting so unoriginal. But it was you, so I was with it. Then to tell you the truth, wish we never did it. Cause I usually do stick to the business. But you came out the blue, and then you just touched it. Goddamn, baby, my mind's blown. Be forgetting you live in a different time zone. Think I know what this is, it's just a time wrong.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the update with Sports Talk Tasha and Erica, a.k.a. Curls in Sports. And we are joined by the lovely Tamantha Gunn from The Celebrity, because we got some good tea to talk about. Tam, welcome back, girl.
Yes, she is.
Thank you guys for having me again.
Of course.
Yes. Introduce yourself again to all of our listeners and tell them where they can find you.
All right, I'm Tamantha with the T. you guys can follow me at Tamantha underscore the number 5, and that's also my Instagram name. And my blog is The Celebrity, T-H-A, Celebrity, and then we spell the T-T-E-E, T-E-A, I'm sorry. And that's our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook name. So you guys follow us. We got all the hottest news, hottest gossip. So follow us to keep stay updated.
Yeah, awesome. Now we're just going to dive right into it. And we're going to talk about Janae Aiko's crazy ass. Help me understand. And for those of you who have not seen it, Janae Aiko went and got this big, giant tattoo of Big Sean's face. Big Sean, who is her man. Yeah, that's her boyfriend. But she got this tattoo of him on her arm. And I'm confused and bewildered. I need somebody with expertise in this area to help me understand. Samantha.
Girl, all I can say is she got it tatted for the D. Hey. that's all I can think about when I saw that tattoo.
For the D challenge. Yes.
Yes, like she literally won for the D challenge. I can't. Like, Big Sean must be putting it down so good, because I would never, ever get a man's face that big on me. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Or period.
A whole face.
Like,
not an initial, not even a name.
Something classy.
You know?
Yeah,
not even like a matching peace sign or something. You got this man's whole face. Now, mind you, the tattoo looks bomb. Like, whoever did a great job.
Yeah.
And, like,
was,
literally, come on.
I don't get it. Because the thing is, they're not married. Big Sean is known for dating women long term and then dumping them when he gets bored. And I'm just like, girl, what are you doing? Like, I just don't get it. And Erica just pointed out, she just got divorced. Like,
yeah,
she just got divorced.
Yeah, as soon as that ink dried on the divorce papers, she went to the tattoo parlor. Because, I mean, that girl is in love with Big Sean. Like, I don't know if y'all have heard her new album, Trip. But
no,
literally, you can just tell, like, they're literally...
She's in love.
I don't know if love would make me get somebody's face on me. I'm sorry.
No.
I don't think so.
You know, I'll be the first to admit, when I was young and dumb and a little bit full of you-know-what, there's been once or twice where I've been like, oh, I love her, I'm going to tattoo his name on me. And then I snap out of it because I'm like, hell nah. But
right.
a whole face, that's what just like
literally
blew my
whole
mind.
Face.
I can't. I mean, look at Nick Cannon. He got Mariah's name so big on him, only for them to get like, only for them not to even be together anymore, and he had to get it all covered. Like, just stop the tattoos, getting the name of your boyfriend, girlfriend thing. Just stop. At least wait till y'all get married so you know, like, okay, it's real. Like, but come on.
Right.
A whole face.
I always like how Khloe did it. I mean, obviously, we're not fans of the Kardashians, but I must honestly say, commend her, because she did a simple little L. It was easy. It obviously was for Lamar.
Right.
It wasn't even tacky. That's the only thing I think I would ever do for my significant other. But a whole name, I don't know. I just don't know if I can come into
that. A whole face.
A whole face.
No.
Like, how can you cover up that face? I want to know.
Right. You can't.
What a star.
And what if, and then even if you get a name, like what if your man's name is like something you can't turn it like into another word? Like if his name is like Jaquan, how are you going to like, how are you gonna turn it into something else?
Jaquan.
How are you going to turn Jaquan into something else?
I don't know. I've seen tattoo artists do some amazing things though. Like I had a butterfly and my tattoo artist, he covered it up with an even better butterfly, but I mean, they were the same kind of creature, but still, I just don't know. I mean, I'm a fan of tattoos. I love them. If I didn't have to be a professional and, you know, go talk to people and be out in public, I would sleeve my entire left arm, but sadly,
really?
I have to be a professional. Yeah, I would totally do it. I'm ratchet like that, Erica. I keep telling you, and you don't believe me.
I'm ratchet like that. I don't have tattoos yet, but I definitely have been eyeing a few. You said tatted up Tasha.
Tatted up Tasha.
Right?
I don't know about
She would
that.
Have to change her whole brand.
I was actually really about to get this giant tattoo on my back, and the only thing that stopped me is that I got a tattoo on my ribs, and it hurt so bad, I was like, oh, no. I'm not going to put my back through this.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't do the back area.
But, yeah, man, I don't know, like, what Big Sean has done to – how long have they been together, Tamantha? Do you know, like, the length of their relationship?
Nobody knows because nobody really even knew she was married. So, like, the timelines for everything is, like, so off dating. And, you know, they've been making songs together for the longest, and I think that they kind of always had something going on, but it never went anywhere because he was in a relationship, she was married or whatever, and now that that's over and his relationship is over, now they're like, okay, now we can make it work. But either way, girl, she is doing too much, and I would never.
What if they break up? What if they break up? What is she going to do?
Never going to be on an episode of Worst Tattoos.
Right.
I mean, she could have at least waited till he gave her like a big diamond rock and said, you know, I want to marry you, and then, you know, pop, face on my body, yay, whatever. But it's not even there yet.
Yeah.
I feel like
I know.
They just,
well,
like,
from what we know now, they could be secretly engaged. We don't know.
Oh,
that's
they could be secretly married for all we know.
Right.
That's the point. So many secrets.
Like, we really don't know. So.
That's crazy.
But I like
them
together, though. I hope they last.
Yeah, they're cute. They're both, like, little and, like, tiny little people. They're going to have, like, tiny little children. Yeah, no, they are. They're, like, just, like, little, like, dwarf couple. It's so cute. I mean, I think, well, how tall is Big Sean? Like, 5'4", maybe? 5'5"?
Oh, he's so little.
I don't even know, but I'm a little offended because I'm 5'4", so.
Listen, girl, I'm 5'2¾", but I'll be the first to be like, I'm 5'3". That 3/4 just bumps me up. Let's round up. No,
right.
But I mean, they're a cute couple, but I'm still not feeling the tattoo. Like, even though it's the artistry on the tattoo was amazing and whatever, like she could have had them make a picture of him and put it on her wall, like for real. I don't know.
I'm sure she has. She probably has like a whole shrine dedicated.
That's so weird. Yeah. And you know what really got me too is that he didn't get a tattoo of her on his body. Like, right?
See, we don't know that yet.
Yeah.
We don't know that yet. He could have something. We just don't know.
Well,
that's a good point.
He didn't announce it to anybody, and nobody has taken a picture of any new tattoos on his body. So for now, I'm going to say that you're playing yourself, Janae. You're playing yourself for real. Anyway,
that's
we're going to shift gears because I'm sure, you know, everybody saw this Dove commercial. And in the commercial, basically Dove had the black girl. And she took off her shirt and all of a sudden she was quote unquote clean and she was nice and white. So what the hell is Dove doing? Like, this is not their first time being racist as shit. Excuse my language. So what are they doing?
Honestly, I don't know what Dove is doing. Like, when I saw that screenshot, it had me ready to throw away all my Dove soap, all my Dove deodorant, everything Dove. And first of all, I was heartbroken because Dove is the only thing I use. Like, you can't be walking around here using Zest and Irish Spring and Dial. Like, ladies, we got to stay on the Dove, okay? If you're nice and clean and have silky smooth skin. And, you know, okay, I heard that.
Funny. It's so funny because when that happened, I was like, wait a minute. I just went to the grocery store. I was like, did I buy Dove or did I buy Oil of Olay? And I checked and I was like, yes, Oil of Olay. All right.
Oil of Olay.
I must say,
I don't think that it was intentional. I think that whoever approved it just doesn't have a brain.
They've done it.
Yeah,
no,
that's
not the first time. See, like, okay,
really,
is this
the first time?
No, it's not. They've had other, like, they've been on the fire before, and I forgot what the other one was. But, okay, fool me once. You know, whatever. I don't even know how to say the saying, and I'm not about to be George Bushing myself so that J. Cole could punk me in one of his songs. But anyway, at the end of the day, like, if Dove didn't have a history of doing BS like this, and I'd be like, okay, it's only one time, whatever. But it's not the first time they have done something like that. So I feel like, okay, you got to know better. And Why would you imply that the black girl taking off her clothes is becoming clean by turning into a white girl? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me say this. So when that, like, screenshot went around Twitter or whatever, that wasn't the full ad. Now, I saw the full ad, and then the white girl turned
the
into
video.
A different...
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So that kind of made me, like, oh, cool. That made it a little bit better. But maybe they should have changed the order. With all this racial tension going on in the country,
you're opening
first.
My eyes to
That's
something
a good point.
Else. So there's
right.
more
don't...
to the video. Please tell me.
Yes, there's three women in the video. And even the black girl from the video did a little Facebook post about it, and she was saying, like, she didn't know it would have, like, a racial undertone. But there's another woman that the white girl changes into. So it's basically works on all, you know, races, women, you know, stuff like that. So people didn't get the full ad. You know, people just run with whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing. Okay, so now we could really talk about how overly sensitive people, and myself included, can be when they see something and don't see the full thing. So,
right.
Yeah. Now I'm kind of feeling like, okay, I mean, I feel a little bad for trying to call Dove out for this, but... Do you remember
has
when
Dove apologized?
Of course, they have.
They did.
I
didn't see it that long.
Do you remember a few months ago? Shea Butter did. Was it Shea Butter or the?
It was Shea Moisture.
Shea Moisture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
They were trying to imply that Shea Moisture was, you know, bringing down black women or whatever. I'm like, they're owned by black people. Like, I don't think that's what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
A black-owned company is going to vilify their own people. Come on. And my family and I, we talk a lot about this, how people are so overly sensitive that you can't say nothing or you can't do anything without it being like, oh, my God, you're being racist or insensitive or whatever. You know, this is going back to when Kobe Bryant said he called somebody gay on the court, and everybody was like, oh, my God, you're so mean to gay people. Never, man.
Mm-hmm.
You've been saying that your whole life. You call anytime your friends did anything stupid, you'd be like, oh, that's gay. We all did it.
Right.
Gay people do it.
Right. Yeah,
so.
I think that thing, when I watched the full ad, I was like, okay, cool. They get a pass for that. But I still think that they need to have more minorities in the decision-making process when it comes to these ads and these commercials, because we would have told them, like, uh-uh, let the white girl go first,
don't do that.
Change into the black girl, and then let the black girl into the Indian girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we would have had an eye to know, like, okay, if we do it this way, that'll stop a lot of conflict.
Yeah,
very much so.
Let the white girl go first. Oh, the white girl really. they're just
saying.
So happy and smiling in the commercial too, and all of a sudden it becomes this big racial thing. That's crazy.
I'm actually reading. I'm reading their apology right now on Twitter. Damn.
Oh, I hated
so
their
funny.
Apology. First, that was horrible.
Oh, that was really horrible.
Anyway. Cham, I really got to wrap it up, and I thank you so much for coming back on our show. And of course, we're going to ask
you
back the minute you find out if Chloe or Kylie are really pregnant. Come back on the show.
You know what? I'm going to find out. I'm going to tweet her, and maybe she'll reply again tonight. And hopefully, I make it back on E-News.
There you go. We're rooting for you, Cham. Tell everyone again how they can find you.
All right, you guys can follow me on Twitter, Tamantha_5, and that's also my Instagram name. And follow our blog. It's thecelebrity.com, thecelebrita.
Yes. Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you,
guys, for listening to the update with Sports Talk Pasha and Erica, a.k.a. Curls in Sports. We're going in the break, and we're coming back to wrap up the show.
Oh, no, no. What's the name?
Matter what your employer says, don't get tattoos of your significant other because it's a big no-no, unless you do it in a tasteful manner, but even then, still questionable, and don't do cocaine. I guess that's, pretty much it, right? No coke, right? They know the drugs, guys.
Listen, what was that teacher on South Park that always used to say drugs are bad? Okay, drugs are bad, guys.
Mr. Garrison.
Don't send videos of yourself doing cocaine to anybody. If you're going to do cocaine, just do it alone.
Exactly. Don't record yourself. Don't record yourself and then dedicate it to your lover. You can't wait to see her.
Right? Oh, my God.
I really question
anyway,
the intelligence of certain people, but we have to go, guys.
We do have to go. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
Join us next week for episode 8. Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the update with Sports Talk Tasha and Erica, a.k.a. Curls and Sports. We love you guys. Bye.
Bye, guys.